Mr. Rocky, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Great to be with you.
Mr. Rocky, two state elections were held on the weekend with substantial swings against Labor. Your assessment on the results?
Look, I think this is the first time that I can remember that there has been political momentum in every state and in the Commonwealth against Labor. And I think what people are picking up on is that the Labor Party is very overblown on its rhetoric, that it's promising lots but delivering little, and governments or even oppositions who are Labor are being punished for it around the country.
And Prime Minister claimed underdog status for Labor. Do you believe the elections were held on solely local issues, or there was also, you know, dissatisfaction of federal politics?
Oh, no, look, I think overall they were local, but there's a common theme. There will always be local issues that determine most election outcomes, but there is a theme. And the theme is that politicians who engage in spin, who try and tell something other than the truth, or who are not fair dinkum to the use that Great Australian line, will be punished. And I think in South Australia you saw the state premier seen as someone who was big on spin and wasn't telling the truth to the Australian people, South Australian people. And in Tasmania, I think again, you had a premier that was in the business of spinning lines. And just as occurred in Western Australia with a change of government, occurred in Queensland with a big voter backlash against Anna Bligh, and in the Northern Territory where they nearly lost government, there is a trend at the moment.
Are you more confident now for November elections?
Look, I would say to myself that and to your listeners that it'll be unbelievably hard for the Liberal Party to win the next election. It's obviously not impossible, but it's obviously very difficult because this is a first-term government. However, the Australian people will make a decision about the election on the issues before them, and they really won't be constrained by history. I think they'll be focusing on the fact that the government has made lots of promises and has not delivered.
Mr. Rocky, one of the federal policies that will affect everyone is the Prime Minister's hospital reform. With the weekend election results, especially the one in Tasmania, do you think Mr. Rudd's plan to take over 60% of public hospital funding is feasible now?
Well, I don't know what the plan delivers. I don't know what the outcomes are. It's one thing to take over funding control, but when your child is sick in an emergency waiting room, who is responsible? Is it going to be Kevin Rudd, or will it be a state hospitals minister? And under Kevin Rudd's proposal, the state hospitals minister will still be responsible for every hospital, but they will no longer have majority funding of it. And as so many of your listeners know, the person that calls the tune is the one that pays the piper. So I don't know why you would want to separate funding from control, because ultimately, if Canberra were to run more than 700 hospitals around Australia, it would be an impossible task for a single person to be responsible for everything. Whereas I think it's a good idea to have greater accountability at a more local level, and the accountability has to be in the form of an election where if you don't like what they're doing, you can get rid of them.
Tomorrow there will be televised debate on the same issue at the National Press Club. What will be the main points of the debate?
Well, I think it needs to be an analysis of what Kevin Rudd has promised. Mr. Rudd needs to explain where aged care fits in with his program. Mr. Rudd needs to explain how taking part of the GST off the states delivers more hospital beds and better healthcare. At the moment, Kevin Rudd has a plan for new public servants, new bureaucracies, but doesn't have a plan for more beds. And I think we'll be asking him the questions that many Australians don't have the opportunity to ask. That's our job, to ask those questions and get some answers.
The Henry report was due to be released early this year. Why do you think the government is delaying the release of the report?
Well, I think it has some pretty bad news for the government. That's why. I think if it was good news, the government would have released it. If there was positives out of it, the government would have released it. But as it stands, I'm sure the government has a plan for new taxes and has a plan for higher taxes. And I think they don't know how quite to release this plan. Lindsay Towner, the finance minister, was asked on TV why the government hadn't released the plan. And he said, look, the prime minister had a long holiday over Christmas, couldn't get around to it. Now, given that the Labor Party described it as the biggest tax reform in a generation, you would think that they would want to get it out there, but quite obviously, they don't want to get the bad news out.
Do you think the Henry reform goes far enough?
Well, we don't know what they are. We don't know what they are. I think you can always have tax reform that can improve things. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You can always do better, but quite frankly, we're all jumping at shadows at the moment.
Which areas do you think the Australian tax system needs a serious overhaul?
Well, I think there's always a reasonable call for simplification. I think the simpler the tax, the better. And the lower the rate, the better. And ultimately, if you can have a simpler tax system with less opportunity for avoidance or evasion, then you'll have a fairer tax system.
What's your prediction on the interest rate?
Well, I can't give a prediction other than to say that the markets are now factoring in up to 1% rise by the end of this year. Now, that's a lot for people, but the truth is that for many small businesses, they're already paying a lot. And I fear in particular for small businesses who not only will find interest rates going up, but will find it harder to borrow money because the government is borrowing in competition with every business and every household. The government, federal government under Labor, is now borrowing up to $115 billion of additional money, huge amount of money. And that's going to have a huge impact on the cost of interest rates for everyday Australians.
Lately, it's been quiet on the environment issue. Coalition's climate action policy remains the same, reduction of greenhouse gas emissions by 5% by 2020?
Yes, that's right. We're absolutely committed to it, but without a huge new tax. And last week, we saw a massive increase in electricity prices here in New South Wales. And part of it was the government's emissions trading scheme, which is so complicated that it's failing to deliver the economic outcome, the environmental outcomes, and it's coming at a huge economic cost.
Do you think it's going to be an election issue later this year?
I have no doubt it will be an election issue. Australians will need to consider carefully whether they want to give Kevin Rudd the opportunity to introduce a tax that's going to massively increase the cost of living for everyday Australians.
Asylum seekers, it's obvious Rudd government's policies are not working. What's the opposition's remedies?
Well, from our perspective, we've always taken a tough stand on border protection, and we stand by that. We will outline a detailed policy before the next election, but you've got to judge us by what we've done in the past and not only what we commit to in the future. And what we said we will do is ensure that Australia has integrity in its immigration system and that we will have strong border protection policies. And the fact of the matter is that we stopped the boats coming and the boats started coming again when Kevin Rudd relaxed the border protection laws in 2008.
The Republic issue hasn't been raised for a while. Is it still on the agenda of major political parties?
Look, I think this is an issue that broadly Australians would accept is in the longer term that when the time is right, Australia that will become a republic, but it is not a high priority issue for Australians today. I think many Australians think and believe that we are a republic effectively today.
Do you support federal government's national curriculum?
Well, the concept of a national curriculum we do support, and we actually tried to get it in place when we were in government, and we found it very difficult dealing with some of the state governments, but a national curriculum is a good idea.
Mr. Rocky, the past few weeks, the Armenian genocide made headlines around the world, and last Thursday you called again for the federal Australian recognition of the Armenian genocide in Parliament. What are the reasons that are preventing federal governments to take a positive step to recognise the Armenian genocide?
Well, I think there are some pretty obvious diplomatic issues that are at play, and in the same way that the United States has not moved, despite there being a good initiative in the last few weeks coming out of the US House Committee on Foreign Affairs with Resolution 252, I think the main issue is how do we convince Turkey to recognise that it was an atrocity out of the Ottoman Empire and that ultimately it is not a commentary on Turkey 2010, but it is a point of fact, historical fact, that must be recognised by all.
Do you think the proposed national curriculum should also include the Armenian genocide?
Well, if there is a study in the national curriculum involving genocide and Holocaust, then of course it should be there. It was the first major genocide of the 20th century. Hitler considered the Armenian genocide to and the treatment of it by historians as in part a justification for the extent of his genocide of the Jews. And I think the very best lessons that you can learn in life are those taught to you from historical truths. And the world cannot continue to deny the Armenian genocide. It's just wrong.
Mr. Rocky, on a personal level, do you know much about your ancestry?
Well, it remains the case that my father did not know his father, even though, you know, Josip Hokadunian was born in Aleppo and obviously was Armenian. But so much of the family history was lost when my father never met him, his own father, and he died shortly after my father was born. So in those days, as many of your listeners would know, so much history was word of mouth in the family.
The same as mine.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. But having said that, Paul Daly wrote a book called Beersheba, and wrote a fair bit about my family history. And in that he refers to my grandfather and his role in Aleppo and at Beersheba, which is very interesting. But every time I hear of Aleppo now, I think of my heritage. And it is still the case that the Hockey Dune is in Aleppo, which is the building that belonged to my grandfather.
Intriguing surname. Hockey Dune means hockey means spirit. Dune means house.
Yeah,
spirit of house.
Or spirited house.
Yes,
that's right.
Mr. Rocky, thanks very much for your interview and thank you for your time.
Anytime, and to everyone, keep the fight up. We need to continue to fight, in particular for the recognition of the genocide. It's something I will not back down on. Thank you. See you later.
See you.